You will hear a museum director called Carl Halford talking about the museum where he works. For questions 9 to 18, complete the sentences with a word or short phrase. You now have 45 seconds to look at part 2.
Hi there. My name's Carl Halford, and I work at the local museum where I'm the director. The museum's recently reopened its antiquities section, which has been closed for over a year. Let me tell you all about it. Firstly, we wanted to give it a complete new look. As you know, the museum was founded in 1902 and remained unchanged, barring the extension in 1958, until our last renovation project in 1973. So it was high time we freshened things up a little. We've made a lot of changes, and not only to the exhibits themselves. Like, we've replaced the display cabinets, and so on. People notice new cabinets and signs, but often not the fact that the lighting has been improved, although it can change the whole way they see an object, and it's an area in which great technical progress has been made in the last few years. So, what about the exhibits themselves? We've altered the selection on show. Part of our collection of around 650 objects is actually still stored underground, and so we've got 429 out on display, compared to 390 previously. A significant change we've made is in the organisation of the exhibits, so that where before they were grouped according to their place of origin, we've now created a pathway through the museum that allows you to view them in order of age, starting with the oldest as you enter the gallery. We've also provided more information on the signs, such as who first discovered them, how we think they were used, and so on. I'm often asked to talk about some of your favourite pieces, and it's hard to choose. But there's a fascinating cup, just a simple cup, which is over 4,500 years old. Round the side, you see this quite lovely flower pattern. And then if you pick it up and look underneath, you can see the shape of a leaf there. It's a sort of mystery as to why someone would have put that there, and it survived so long. Another little mystery is a little set of figures. There's a farmer with two cows. Although they're certainly not horses or oxen, they do seem to be ploughing a field. But it's not 100% clear, because one's pointing forward and the other's pointing the opposite way. So how would that work? We'll probably never know. The exhibits attract all sorts of visitors, young and old, though some of them are a bit scary for younger children. Like there's one statue that's got a big head with lots of curly hair and eyes that seem to follow you round the room. You notice kids looking back at them nervously. It's obviously a deliberate part of the design. And in fact, a lot of ancient art was about terrifying things. Like there's a special vase, which we've lovingly restored, that's painted all the way round with this amazing scene. You see this man, the hero, sailing with his soldiers and then battling with a monster. And yet, we're not told. We don't know the outcome. Who wins that fight? But there's a lot that's interesting on a smaller scale, too. We've included quite a few coins in the display, because they're such good tellers of historical tales. There's one of a famous emperor that's special because the decoration on it is remarkably detailed. And you'd never think so much information could be included in one small object. But you can see the shape of his ears, his nose, and so on. At the other end of the artistic scale, we have a small rock. Just a basic natural thing, not a statue. But we like to think about the young man, we assume he was a young man, out by the river, and how he carved, or just scratched, the image of a fish onto it. Perhaps he caught an extra big one and wanted to celebrate the fact. Again, we'll never know for sure, but I love this simplicity. So, before I go on, I wanted to show you this little...
Now play the recording again. That is the end of part 2.